Today, the title of the message is, if you could just look at the title, Unless You See, You Will Not Believe. This is Jesus' word to Galileans. Okay, and I'm asking you to take a look at it carefully because there are two words that I kind of underline in red, and we need to pay attention to that because unless you see, you will not believe. So which precedes which? Okay, seeing and then believing. And my question is, what is there to believe if you see it, right? But Jesus is saying to this royal officer that we see in John chapter 4, but I think it applies to Galileans and maybe to some of us as well, okay? So if you just look at the order of seeing and believing, okay? Unless you see, you will never believe, different translation says. And this world says seeing is believing. If you listen to what that is saying, that means do not believe in anything. Just make sure you see it. Seeing is believing. But isn't it kind of interesting that in John chapter 12, Jesus said to Martha, okay, remember the story of Mary, Martha, and his brother Lazarus? His brother died, and in fact, if you study the story carefully, Jesus let him die. Okay, allow him to die. Not just get sick, but let him die so that he would reveal himself. And he said, when he came to Bethany, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. Okay? Sounds like a statement of faith, but I don't know. You know, if you had been here, you would have my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, Martha, listen, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. What's the order? What precedes the other? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. It's kind of like reverse, isn't it? The world tells you to see, and God speaks to you to believe. Okay? When I was a graduate student at Stony Brook Dental School many years ago, my heart was heavy. I mean, you know, first couple years, 2 years of basic science with medical school was pretty intense. And I'm not the brightest student of that class. And I felt like I had a weight. And I share this many times. I had this weight of worry on my chest, literally on my chest, from the moment you wake up, open my eyes, till I fall asleep. I don't know whether you ever experienced something like that. But I felt like this anxiety and this worry and this just tremendous amount of studies and stuff, it felt like a weight. And then one day, I was a Christian, so I was doing my devotion, and it was on the account of Jesus and his disciples going through the storm, okay? And suddenly a squall, a tempest came into this lake, and everybody thought they were dying, okay? And then they try everything possible to survive. They just, you know, they do everything, you know, just do everything possible. But they were panicking. And what was Jesus doing? Jesus was sleeping in the stern, in the back. Out of all the stories, he sleeps in the storm. WWJD, right? So he was sleeping. So they walk him up. Hey, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care? We're about to die. And then Jesus stands up. What does he do? He rebuked the storm. He just commanded the storm. Rebuked the storm. That's really weird, right? He rebukes the storm. Hey, I'm trying to fall asleep. I guess I'm asleep. Why? You know? Rebuked the storm and calms the storm. And then in Mark's gospel said, immediately. I think that's very important, immediately. Shh! Just like a movie, going backward. Shh! Of eerie silence. And the disciples were now more fearful of this person than the tempest or the squall or the storm itself. And I still remember when I was doing this devotion, what Jesus said to the disciples. And would you listen carefully? He said, "Why are you so afraid?" And then the next statement, "Where is your faith?" That's exactly, that just spoke to my heart. Where is my faith? You know, I've been a Christian all these years. I was an officer, everything, even a staff. And I worry, and I'm anxious, and just nervous, and just feeling like this, weight on my chest. Even to this day, that's the question that rings in my ear. Where is your faith? You know what? Bottom line is, Jesus is not really, God is not really concerned about other things, but his main focus of concern in his children is your faith. Okay? Where is your faith? Some of you are saying, "What do you mean, where's my faith?" Faith is right here. Okay? Well, Bible speaks about all different kinds of faith. Let me just introduce some of the adjectives and descriptions of faith that Bible introduces. It's going to be about 15 of them, but it'll be quick, so if you would listen. Matthew chapter 17, "Oh, you have a little faith." There is little faith as opposed to great faith. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Dead faith, faith that is dead." Okay? 1 Timothy 1:19 says, "Shipwrecked faith." There's a faith, but it is shipwrecked. It's wreckage. Okay? Luke chapter 17, verse 5 says, "Increase your faith." In other words, faith grows. Okay, it grows. Psalm 106, verse 24 says, "There is no faith." There are people with no faith. Unbelief. Mark chapter 4, verse 40 says, what I shared. Why are you so afraid? And where is your faith? Have you still have no faith? Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 5 says, the churches were strengthened in the faith. In other words, so that's something that needs to be strengthened. Okay? They increased, Lord increased the number of believers daily. Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says, justified by faith. Okay. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, firm faith, as opposed to weak faith, right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says, faith that brings confidence and boldness. Faith that brings confidence and boldness. Faith that brings, I want to just run away. Right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 says, not all have faith. Okay? 1 Timothy verse 6, 21 says, swerved from faith. It's not straight faith, you're just kind of like deviated faith. 2 Timothy 4, 7 says, I have kept my faith. It's something that needs to be kept, as if you may lose it, right? And Titus 1:13 says, be sound in the faith. And there is no faith, dead faith, weak faith. And then there is firm faith, strong faith, great faith, saving faith. Do you hear it? So it's not all the same, people. Okay? So my question, in fact, a question that God wants to ask you today, and that's his main concern, is where is your faith? Okay? And I just come up with a few principles as I was studying all these different passages. Some principles. Number one, faith. You could have no faith, or you may have faith. It's not automatic, right? Number two, size and capacity of the faith. There is that little faith, and then there is dead faith. There is weak faith, swerved faith, useless faith, and no faith. Let me go to the positive side. Okay, there is that little faith, firm faith, great faith, kept faith, and saving faith. Do you hear it? There are differences, people, differences. So, number three, the outcome of faith that Jesus is concerned about is saving faith, salvation of your souls. Okay, at the outcome, 1 Peter 1:9 says, faith and the outcome is the salvation of your souls. Why is faith important? Because without faith, there is no salvation, and you live by faith. What you believe, you live. Okay? What you believe, you live. And lastly, faith, what did I write here? Increases by hearing. What do you hear makes up what you believe. If you hear the word of God, you will believe in God and the truth. And if you listen to all these different lies of this world, and that's what you will believe. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. So there are different types of faith. And today, unless you see, you will have no faith. And that's something that God is kind of rebuking. And that's the introduction for today. Let me go to the text. Supposedly a famous picture of, what did I do? Okay. Famous picture of a royal officer run to Jesus at the end of John chapter 4 because his son was ill. Common thing is people are driven to God by need. Okay? I mean, unless there is a need, we really don't seek God. That's just natural tendency of human beings, right? Isn't that the case? Whether it is your own personal sickness of your loved one, perhaps sometimes you're just so broken. You're just so broken. Sometimes deep, deep emptiness you're feeling. Sometimes just people just failed you. You're just so disappointed. Sometimes you just don't have any reason to live. Whatever the need may be, okay? But not always the case. And even with all these needs, sometimes people never go to God, okay? But oftentimes, if you look at the Bible, if you look at the stories, and if you talk to people, these needs drive to Jesus, to God. So in that sense, those needs, though it is painful at the time, and you may and may not have the solution to that, but it is a good thing. It's a means to a great thing. Okay, so this father was a royal officer. He was a royal officer of Herod Antipas. Those of you who are in Christianity Explored, that name sounds familiar. He's the son of Herod the Great, the bad king. When Jesus was born, he infanticide, killed all the babies under 2 years old just to kill Jesus, right? Remember that? That crazy guy, eaten by worms at the end. And that's his son. Herod Antipas is known because of his acquaintance with John the Baptist. We talked about this last week, and this Herod Antipas had great fear and reverence toward John the Baptist. Really? That's what the Bible says, Mark chapter 6. He even enjoyed and he was pleased to listen to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was he was a fiery preacher, wasn't he? What you're doing is wrong. You're sleeping with your sister-in-law. You can't do that. You must repent and live. That kind of message, sin and pointing out his things. And the Bible says he was greatly perplexed. What does that mean? He was greatly stirred. Every Sunday, you listen to a message and you're greatly stirred. That's right, Lord. I gotta turn. I can't live like this. Greatly stirred. He even enjoyed and he feared the preacher. He loved to save him. But one day, an opportune time came because his wife Herodias, which was his sister-in-law, I mean, there are a lot of sick stories in the Bible. Sometimes with the daughters, sometimes with sister-in-laws. There are a lot of sick stories in the Bible. You know why? Because we are sick people. It describes you and I. It describes humanity. And one day, Herodias, Herod's wife, who was sister-in-law, hated John the Baptist because he speaks the truth. And he wanted to kill him. So opportunity came. It was Herod's birthday, and he was having a wild party. Okay, don't imagine. Okay, wild party. And Herodias' daughter danced. Probably was a wild dance. Aroused them sexually. And Herod was greatly pleased, and he promised that, I'll give you anything, anything you ask for. He talks like God, just like his father. Remember? That's how he was killed. And he talks like, I'll give you anything, anything, anything you want, even the half of the kingdom. And then Herodias' daughter asked Herodias, what should I ask? Herodias, opportunity. I want the head of the John the Baptist on a platter. You know, something like this sounds like something you order in a restaurant, right? I want something on a platter. I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. So, oh, John the Baptist has had an opportunity. Should I listen to what the Lord is speaking to me? Or should I just try to keep my word because I made a promise to her and in front of the people? And you know what? He listens to the latter. And he kills John the Baptist. That Herod Antipas. Later on, he meets Jesus in the later chapter when Jesus was arrested. And Herod the Antipas was really excited. You know what he was excited? Oh, man, I'm going to see miracles now. I'm going to see power. He really wanted to see. What did Jesus do? He kept silent. It's too late, people. Too late. So it was that Herod Antipas, and this was his officer. So probably with certain respect and certain financial security, power security, and all that kind of stuff, but his son was ill and to the point of death. So what did he do? He heard of Jesus performing, Jesus this prophet, performing these great signs and wonders and miracles in Judea and even in Galilee. He heard about Cana, water turning into wine. Oh, man. So he wanted to run to this prophet for help. And that's some sort of faith. Definitely not saving faith, but some sort of faith. So he runs to Jesus. After two days at Sychar at Samaria, Jesus departed for Galilee. He goes north. And for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet had no honor in his own hometown. You know, in Galilee, people try to kill him, right? And has no respect, no honor. But it's kind of peculiar what follows in the next verse. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. Wait a minute. Didn't he just say prophet has no honor in his own hometown? And then the next verse says the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem. Why did Galileans welcome Jesus? Because they see this miracle worker. They see this power. They see and they believe. They see and believe, kind of belief. And Bible says, that's no honor to God. Can you imagine someone gives you a great gift and you have no concern about the person? The only thing you're concerned is the gift. That'll be very offensive, wouldn't it? That'll be very, very offensive. That's precisely what is happening here. Okay. So he came again to Cana in Galilee. Jesus came to Cana, the same place he performed the first sign of turning water into wine, where he had made the water into wine. At Capernaum, there was an officer whose son was ill, that I just described him, right? Royal officer. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. That's a great thing, isn't it? When you are in need, you come to God, that's a great thing. And some sort of faith has driven him to do that. Okay? So, verse 48. Very, very peculiar because this guy, this father has a good intention, but Jesus is kind of mean here, as often it seems like he is. Okay? But Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Okay, what's the tone of voice that you hear here? Is Jesus commending that? Is Jesus pleased with that? Is Jesus wow, that's a great faith. Is he saying that? I don't think so, right? Oftentimes Jesus speaks like that. Remember when Syrophoenician woman said, you know, please, please, do something. And then Jesus said, no, no, no. I came to ministry to the Israelites, not to Gentiles. It sounds so mean. Right? Sounds so mean. Okay? But Jesus said to him, unless you see the signs and wonders, you will not believe. Verse 49 says, the officer responded to him, sir, please come down before my child dies. There is no, like, I'm demanding you because I'm a royal person. I'm demanding you because of my merits. I'm demanding you because I'm going to pay you. Nothing like that. He's just begging. And NIV says he just begs, humbly begs. And then Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. Just like that, okay? And then the next verse is, the man believed. There is another faith statement. Second faith statement in the story. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Something special happened. Okay? The first sign of faith is, unless you see, you do not believe. Unbelief. First stage of faith. And this is the second stage of faith. Something happened. Now you begin to hear the word of God. Can I just ask you? You have to answer to yourself. Do you begin to hear the word of God? Do you begin to hear God's word is true? Okay? Something like that. Okay? The man believed. Something special happened. How do you know? Because of the story that follows. Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. I'm going to skip this. Okay? Verse 51, which happens the next day. As the father was going down back to Capernaum, his servants, they met. And told him that his son was recovering. In other words, he survived. He wasn't dying anymore. He's living. And the next response of his father is something noteworthy. So he asked them, when was the hour he began to get better? Why would he ask that? Why would he? That would be the first response. Oh, that's great. Wonderful. Instead of doing all of these, what was the hour? When did he get better? Sounds as if something happened when Jesus said, go, your son will live. Something happened in his heart. He noticed that. I really believe, by the way, people, faith could begin in your heart at a moment with one verse, just one verse. Remember, my testimony is when Lord speak that verse many years ago, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Just one verse. I mean, you may be thinking, what is so great about that verse? I'm sick and tired of hearing it. Stop, stop. You may be saying that, but to me, that's the verse that just woke me up. Woke me up. And everything changed. Even to this day, I speak about it. And I just came to a realization, a sober realization, that if everything is about the glory of God at the end, if I'm not part of it, I got to be a greatest stupid. I really said to the Lord, Lord, I got to be a greatest stupid if I don't live for you. It just woke me up. And something like that happened, right? Something like that happened. Okay, so when was the hour? It began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at 7th hour, which is 1 p.m. 1 p.m., the fever left him. Isn't it kind of interesting, this story, John include this kind of detail and kind of like highlight that when he said that and when did he get better? And that time coincide. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't he in Capernaum, which is about 25 kilometers or miles away from Cana? Absolutely. Do you mean to say Jesus heals at distance? He could do that? That's precisely what this story is telling us. Right? That's precisely what this story is telling us. Do you mean to say he just say, go, your son will live, and he lives? Yes. That's precisely what this story is saying. Okay? What would have happened when he realized the word that he has spoken is actualized? What would have happened to this father's heart? Something divine, I think. Something more than, okay, I began to believe the word of God. Something more than that. Perhaps, wait a minute, who could calm this storm like this by rebuking it? Who is this person? That fear that they had toward the tempest or the storm, now it was toward that person. I mean, there's a greater fear toward this person. Who is this person? Who is this person? Realizing the full scope of the person of Christ, God. Different kind of faith, isn't it? Right? What happened afterward? Father knew that the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live, that moment, he himself, he knew that that was the hour when Jesus said, your son will live. In other words, yesterday at 1 p.m. when Jesus said, go, your son will live, is the moment he began to get better. I think this story is highlighting that he's a distant healer. He could heal in distance. Okay, he could heal in distance. He could heal, in fact, make him to live by declaring it. Okay, declaring it. And then the third faith statement. So the Father, he himself believed. Is that the same kind of belief? Unless you see, you do not believe. He began to believe in the word of God. Now he believed, which led to belief and faith in all of his household. Clearly, there is a progression. Clearly, there are different stages, if you will. It's not all same. Correct? I think the first one was not belief. It's unbelief. Unless you see, you do not believe. It's reversed. The second thing is he believes and he sees the glory. It's been reversed. Okay? And then final belief here is, wait a minute. The moment he declared his word, your son will get better, is the moment that he began to get better. Wait, who is he? The full scope, full revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. I think that's the story. Verse 54, this was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Okay, so that's the story. That's the background. And I want to ask you, so where is your faith? Where is your faith? Does it matter? I think it matters. It matters because you live according to your faith. You live by faith. Okay? Does it matter? Absolutely matters because without faith, you cannot please God. In other words, God is not pleased with you without faith. God is holy. And you are only thing you're interested in is, let's say, a gift, signs. You're doing well in this world. Only thing you care about is you. You don't really care about the person who is giving you the gift. Only thing you care about is your gift. I don't think anybody would please with you. Does it matter? Absolutely matters, because faith leads to salvation. Without faith, there is no justification. Without faith, there is no salvation. Without faith, there is no life. Okay, it's a dead faith, it's useless faith, shipwrecked faith, deviated faith, no faith. Okay, so what is going on here? What is this story about? At a glance, it looks like a story of Jesus healing a person. And there are many stories like that in the Bible. Okay, there are similar stories like Jesus healing centurion's servant, right? Centurion comes, who is a Roman soldier. He's a Roman. He's not even a Jew. He comes to Jesus. Would you take care of, would you heal my servant? He's dying. He says, okay, Jesus, and this time, knowing him, he says, okay, let's go. Let's go to his house. And then centurion says, no. I am not worthy to have you under my roof. See, I'm a man of an officer. When I command, people listen to me. So please, Lord, you just command. Whoa. Jesus was like, whoa, can you believe that you could surprise God with your faith? You could surprise God with your faith. Jesus said, whoa, this is a great faith. Isn't it interesting? And Jesus heals that servant in a distance. There's another story like similar to that story of the synagogue ruler Jairus, and he came to Jesus and asked him, "Could you come to my house? My daughter is dying." This time it was a daughter. Okay, and again Jesus said, "Okay, let's go." Okay, he goes with Jairus, and on the way there's a woman who's been ill for 38 years. There's a side story that just kind of creeps in, and she had the faith: if I just touch him, I'll be healed. And she does touch him, and then she gets better. And Jesus, "Who touched me?" And I said, "What are you talking about, Jesus? There are millions of people touching you." "No, no, no, no. My power went out." That's their story. So what I'm trying to explain here, people, it this seems like story of healing, but really is about your faith. Really is about your faith. I'm asking you, people, where's your faith? Does it matter? Absolutely matters, people. Absolutely matters. Okay? Do you have faith in the miracles? The gifts? Do you have faith in the Word of God? Or do you have faith in the person of God? In the person of God. Where is your faith? I think John chapter 4, which is a great chapter about Samaritan woman, and she was a Gentile. She was at the bottom of the social caste. But that's the person that Jesus came and spent most extensive conversation between God and any human being in the Bible. I just find this that amazing. And my question to you is, are you in stage one? Some sort of faith driven you here? Praise God. Or are you in stage two? Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you begin to believe in the Word of God? Okay. I think it is grace, people. That's what I'm trying to do. Even this unpleasing faith, Jesus honored. And gives him opportunity to grow his faith. Isn't it wonderful? Why does he do that? He doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. He did not have to do that. But he heals him just so that he will live a few years longer. I don't think that's what it is. I don't think that's what this story is about. So that he may believe, so that his family may believe. It is about faith, right? Do you understand the whole full scope of God? Do you know why you go to study? Do you know why you need to make money? Do you know why you need to get married? Do you know why you have to live? Do you have the full understanding of the scope of who the person of God is and what is revealed in the Scripture? I personally think saving faith is somewhere between. I'm not sure whether I could pinpoint between second and third somewhere. Okay, I'm not God, but I don't think it's stage one, okay? Oh, unless you see the signs and wonders, you do not believe. I don't think that's saving faith. No. But somewhere in the progression of growth and maturing of faith, saving faith comes, okay? So, story is about believing faith. Three stages. First, believe by seeing, and then you believe. Seeing is believing, which is what the world is telling you to do, which is unbelief. But somehow, Lord uses that. And you know what? His desire for this father and for you is benevolent. He wants you to have faith. Would you say amen? He doesn't want you to just come and vegetate and go home. Sorry. To use that kind of term. He doesn't want you to just come and, "I was there, you know, I'm okay for the week." No, he doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to do that. He loves you. He deeply loves you. He wants you to live this life in faith, and he wants you to be with him in faith forever. He really does, actually. His heart towards you is benevolent, so There are three stages, first stage and the second stage, like some of us. Myself, I continue to testify. One day, the word of God, I just heard him. I just began to believe. I think it's totally gift of God. Completely gift of God, right? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Just like the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, she didn't care. She didn't even know who he was. She just came out. She just continued to close. But at one point, Jesus continued to relentlessly speaks to him, and she began to believe. And at one point, I am the Messiah. I who speak to you, I am. So stage 2, moving on to stage 3 of understanding the full scope of person of Jesus. And story of the royal officer here and his whole housework. Can I just ask you, I want you to answer this to yourself. How many of you say, me and my whole household, all my family is in the Lord? Amen. Can you say that? Say to yourself. Very few people. Right? I know that's got to be the greatest concern. If you know the truth, that's got to be the greatest concern. But here we see that he believed in his household. What happened? One could only speculate. He would probably go back to his home, Capernaum, right? Wealthy family. And his son is alive. And he would tell the story. Listen, it is great that he's alive. But it was the great grace of God. I met the Messiah. I met God. The moment he said, go, your son will live, he was alive. Could that be the coincidence? People, listen to me. He is God. Do you know what I mean? Him and his household believed. Yeah. Can I just ask you, is there anyone sitting here? Man, that's me. Me and my household, no problem. Anybody? I know that's got to be the greatest concern, right? Greatest concern, right? John chapter 20 says, this gospel is written so that you may believe that he's the Son of God and the Christ, and by believing, you may have life. Okay? What is this story about? So that you may believe. Okay? So that you may have faith. So that you may have life. My brothers and sisters, don't be fooled with religion. Don't be fooled with, hey, at least I'm doing better than most of my friends. At least I'm not grossly sinning. Don't be fooled like that. He came to save and restore. Okay? What is this story about? This story is about faith, believing. Weak faith, strong faith, useless faith. There is a bold and courageous faith. What kind of faith? What kind of faith? It is not all same, people. Don't be fooled. It is not all same. It is different. It is different. But he cares about you and he loves you. He wants to bring that faithless person all the way to the full scope of understanding of who Jesus is. What is my life about? What is my wealth about? What is my health about? Soon everything will come to pass, people. Soon everything will come to pass. Only what you have done for the Lord will matter at the end. Soon everything will come to pass. When I look at this story, there are three stages of faith, right? Where do you think you are? Between 1 and 2, or 2 and 3, or 1 and 0? You know, there's one more stage. There are people who seize it and not believe it. There are people like that. If you look at this in the Gospels, there were resurrected Christ. They saw them and they tried to conceal that. Isn't that amazing? I mean, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4. And Lord loves you, people. And this gospel is written so that you may believe that he's the Christ and Son of God. So that by believing, you may have life, eternal life. Unless you believe, you do not have eternal life. But come to Christ. Okay, come to Christ. I'm going to ask you again, where is your faith? It doesn't matter where your mom's faith is. It doesn't matter where your spouse's faith is. Where is your faith? Okay. Let's bow before the Lord.